This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. A number of things I need to address briefly. This court at the Big 12 basketball tournament is wacky. Look at that court, B.
It's weird.
It's weird. That was one. Two, I think I just about blew Poet's mind. You know how they're playing music from different stations in the men's room now?
Uh-huh.
An overnight scenario came on, and I was hyped to it, and I went by the PGC studio and told her that, and she just died laughing. I don't think she was prepared for me to drop that on her. And then lastly, caller number 10, right now, you win two tickets to go to a concert. You get to see the Dropkick Murphys and Bad Religion, Summer of Discontent Tour, Tuesday, August 12th at Pier 6 in Baltimore with special guests, the Mainliners. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event information, visit thefandc.com/events. 800-636-1067. Jeff, you got a band called the Mainliners in Baltimore? Isn't that kind of poor taste?
It don't sound too good.
All right. Speaking of things that don't sound too good, I just want to play this audio and let everybody draw their own conclusions. The first person speaking here is a fella by the name of Connor Orr with Sports Illustrated.
I did not like Washington's free agency at all. I hate the idea of microwaving this process, just being like, oh, okay, we made it to the NFC title game. Let's get Deebo Samuel and Laremy Tunsil, and let's trade away all of our picks for veteran guys, and it's not 2010 anymore. Like, it doesn't necessarily work that way. And now you're putting a lot on Jaden Daniels' plate. And for everybody that's telling me, well, you have to strike while the iron's hot, that's what the Jets said with Mark Sanchez. That's what the Eagles said with Carson Wentz. And it ended up just overloading these guys, and then they were never the same.
And this is going to be like what's fascinating about it is we'll get to watch it. You know, are you going to be better off if you're Kansas City holding on to your draft picks and signing Jalen Moore and projecting him to play left tackle for you? Are you going to be better off if you're Tennessee overpaying Dan Moore to play left tackle for you and holding on to your picks? Or is Washington going to be better off getting an established guy and, you know, draining draft picks, not just from this year, but next year too?
So the second voice there was Albert Breer with a much more reasoned response. Let me get the beginning of that again and just stop it when Connor Orr finishes. You can stop it right there, Jeff.
Like Washington's free agency at all. I hate the idea of microwaving this process, just being like, oh, okay, we made it to the NFC title game. Let's get Deebo Samuel and Laremy Tunsil, and let's trade away all of our picks for veteran guys, and it's not 2010 anymore. Like, it doesn't necessarily work that way. And now you're putting a lot on Jaden Daniels' plate. And for everybody that's telling me, well, you have to strike while the iron's hot, that's what the Jets said with Mark Sanchez. That's what the Eagles said with Carson Wentz. And it ended up just overloading these guys, and then they were never the same.
And this Brian?
Carson Wentz was on his way to winning an MVP.
Yeah.
And was playing terrific. And that wasn't his first year, right?
No.
Mark Sanchez just proved that he won He went to two AFC championship games, didn't he?
Yeah.
But he proved that overall, as it went on, that he wasn't that guy. Jaden, I think, is ahead of both of those guys already in his mental preparation. So it's not 2010 where you allow guys to just sit forever. Okay? So he's playing. If you got a quarterback who can handle it, and that's what he's about, you go with it. So I don't understand, like, you say giving up all your draft picks. They had eight of them when they started, but they got now six. But you do have players on your squad now that can play. So it's not one way to do this thing. I don't think back then everybody did it the same way. I don't think right now everybody does it the same way. But if you're in a position to go get something that's going to help you, you know, speed this process up, you go get it.
I also think the settings around free agency have just changed dramatically, man. I just don't think it's at all the same. And I think because of that, it's you have to be more aggressive in trades.
Yeah.
I just saw this. Mike Giardi, I think, is where I saw it from. One of the Boston guys, Doug Kayed, pardon me, writes for the Boston Herald, covers the Patriots. One assistant general manager on Milton Williams, who looks like a good player, but he's young. Very few of these dudes that were available in free agency were young, truly coming off a rookie deal. An unnamed assistant general manager on Milton Williams' four-year, $104 million contract with the Patriots. The Milton deal is a tax on him being the one young, good player on the market. Free agency has changed. You can't, dude, if the question is, would you rather have Laremy Tunsil that you end up giving up a second and a four next year? You paid some freight on that. Would you rather have Laremy Tunsil, who is a known commodity star, or pay Dan Moore $50 million guaranteed, four-year, $82 million, right? Dan Moore gave up the most sacks as a left tackle in the NFL last year. He finished with 12 sacks allowed, recorded 21 penalties, 11 holds. So if you prefer to build this way, you sign Dan Moore and you're probably going to – it sure seems like, considering Tennessee has done nothing at quarterback this cycle, they're about to draft Cam Ward. Or you're signing Dan Moore to protect Will Levis, whatever it is. You prefer that avenue to trading for Tunsil when you've got Jaden Daniels and you still allow yourself the cap flexibility in 2 years when Jaden's number comes up to make more moves as needed?
Hey, man. Some people are going to find stuff to go at. What did he want?
The Debo trade, to call that microwaving something.
That's not microwaving anything.
You have to pay the roster bonus. I understand that. But if you just get Debo's production from last year, that's worth it.
Hey, man. We have that.
What do you think when you hear that, dude?
I think he can't make this. He can make the assumption, but you can't. Well, you should not hold what happened with other teams under different regiments against a guy with his team now, because Dan Quinn wasn't on none of those teams. Dan Quinn wasn't the head of any of those teams where they did any of that, and you don't know if it's going to work or not.
But he's saying they were never the same. Like, Sanchez went to two AFC championship games.
You can point that out all you want.
I'm going to point it out.
I'm not saying quarterback wins. I am all the way out on making a comparison between Mark Sanchez and Jaden.
And Jaden, yeah.
All the way out. No, I'm regardless of how many title game trips.
I'm attacking his mindset. When did Carson Wentz just go in and not act like he can play at first? He was playing terrific when he got hurt. What year was that? Second or third?
Carson's second season is when he appeared to be on his way to an MVP award.
So, but
that was I think the Eagles ended up winning the Super Bowl anyway. That was 2017.
But what he's saying makes no sense. He named guys that were not.
Yeah, when did they overload Wentz? Because after was not that, in it was
the same,
injury.
It was not in the same situation. So this is what I'm saying. See, this is what happens on radio, happens on TV, happens on podcasts. People just say a lot of stuff, and they're never questioned on it. I would love to ask him directly, where the hell did they overload those two dudes? And I promise you he won't have an answer. But see, no one is calling him to say that.
I have a tough time with that one on a lot of different levels. I don't know, man. I just don't get the comps whatsoever. And I just think it's silly. If you don't like Washington's free agency thus far, I think you can make a pretty rational argument. Like, there's some logic to that argument. If you think they gave up too much for Tunsil and you got to build long term and you give up that many draft picks, okay, I can get that. If you think Kinlaw's too much cash, I can wrap my head around that. I don't necessarily agree with it, especially the Tunsil part, but I can conceptualize that. But an argument that you're concerned that Jaden Daniels will go by the way of Mark Sanchez and Carson Wentz. Sanchez, they just never moved the ball in that offense. And Rex Ryan, as the boss of the Jets, was okay with that because the defense was so nasty. Wentz was quite good. Then the injury stacked up. Then all the weird stuff continued to happen. Like, that was its own unique track. And I don't know. I don't know. White Brian, what do you hear there? Because to me, that just is an egregiously bad take. You cannot like the performance in free agency thus far, but the quarterback comparisons I just find ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a very bad take. And I think it's just one of those things where it's easier to have a hot take and say something's going to go wrong and that be right than say something's going to go extremely right and be proven right.
Yeah, I think you're right. I've followed some of that dude's work, and it's always it rarely is close to kind of conventional wisdom. There's usually a lot to it. But I don't know. I have a tough time with that one. I almost want to open the phone lines up. I know we don't have time because we have Paris. But let the world hear my guy Connor Orr one more time. And then I'm going to let
Connor
him hear,
Orr, one finger salute.
I did not like Washington's free agency at all. I hate the idea of microwaving this process, just being like, oh, okay, we made it to the NFC title game. Let's get Deebo Samuel and Laremy Tunsil and let's trade away all of our picks for veteran guys and bop. It's not 2010 anymore. Like, it doesn't necessarily work that way. And now you're putting a lot on Jaden Daniels' plate. And for everybody that's telling me, well, you have to strike while the iron's hot, that's what the Jets said with Mark Sanchez. That's what the Eagles said with Carson Wentz. And it ended up just overloading these guys, and then they were never the same.
And this is going to be like...
I have to ask you a question. This dude sounded like he was 10 years old in 2010.
I don't know how old he is. I do know this. If any of our audience wants to tweet him, at Connor Orr, CONOROR. I don't buy that whatsoever. I think the free agency kind of stinks now, and you generally build through trades and the draft. And I think
he's two N's, one N.
CONOR, just one N, and then ORR. I don't think the only microwave I would say is if you think they gave up too much for Tunsil, because then you won't be able to draft him later. And that's just not how I view that, because what if you answered left tackle for the next 5 years? What if he plays well this year? You're able to get a deal done next year that you can afford Jaden with. Like, isn't that what allowed Purdy to have so much success? Is that they found Trent Williams and Sam Fran?
Mm-hmm. Hey, man.
I mean, dude, whatever you think about Jalen Hurts, you know what helps him a lot?
Maybe
that,
if he had
offensive
just,
line is
maybe
excellent.
If he had just looked at some other teams that's doing it right now, he would have never said nothing about 2010.
Is that a shot at the previous way the Skins were ran?
I don't know. You don't have to go all the way to 2010 to get that.
Right, but I just wonder if that's where he's going, like, oh, like Washington doesn't need to do it like they used to in the old days. That's the only real thing I can
Brian
think
Coleman's
of.
Brian Coleman's just, we say, that guy's an idiot. Middle finger to him, just like you said.
Monty Coleman?
No, Brian Coleman.
Oh, all right. I thought you said Monty Coleman. I was like, damn, Monty's listening? When we come back, I'm excited to talk. We're going to New Orleans because I'll be walking in New Orleans. Matt Parrish joins the program next.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. This week, FanDuel is bringing you a Dog of the Day Profit Boost Tokens. One of the best parts about the tourney is when an underdog takes down a powerhouse. And right now, those upsets can get even better because if your underdog bet wins, you'll land even more winnings with a profit boost. This is your chance to ride with the long shots, the scrappy teams, and the ones that refuse to go quietly. Listen, every year we always see the favorites, but there's always going to be some of those smaller teams, mid-majors, come in and upset them. I think ride with the mid-majors early on, you'll make you some money. If you've been waiting to join FanDuel, there's no better time. The app is easy to use, and when you win, you'll get paid instantly. Just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to download America's number one sportsbook today and back your dog of the day with a profit boost. Because after all, anything can happen in March. You have to be 18 years old and present in D.C., opt-in required, wager of at least plus 100 odds required, bonus issued as a non-withdrawable profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including any token expiration and max wager amount. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Excited to bring on our friend, Mr. Matt Parrish from New Orleans, Louisiana. Parrish covers the Saints. A lot of folks probably remember him from his work here with the Washington Times covering the Skins. What's up, Parrish? How are you, buddy?
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
What's happening?
Two guys of note I really want to talk to you about. Let's start with the guy that Washington signed in Will Harris. What did you see from him last year in New Orleans?
Yeah, you know, he was a pretty solid signing. He was one of those minimum type guys who really exceeded expectations. I mean, safety looked like it was going to be a disaster for the Saints in training camp because they couldn't find a starter opposite Tyrann Mathieu. They even explored signing Justin Simmons during that time. But as camp progressed, you know, Harris emerged and he kind of locked it down. You know, once the season started, he really, you know, had that starting spot. The only time he missed was because of a hamstring injury. You know, versatile, was mostly of their box safety, but the way the Saints use their safeties, they kind of play both positions, free and strong. So really solid, good hitter. And there's obviously some familiarity with Harris in Washington's front office with Lance Newmark, who drafted him in Detroit. So I think it's a real solid fit.
That's great. As you compare him to Jeremy Chinn the year before, Harris seems to have a lot more versatility. He's played all over in Detroit. I mean, it seems like his role was pretty locked in with the Saints. But prior to that, what did you think of his ability to play multiple positions?
Yeah, I mean, that was the thing that, you know, was he going to do that in New Orleans? And they did at times, but he wasn't like their nickel corner, for instance. His Detroit, what made his progression in New Orleans so interesting was because in Detroit, by the end of his tenure, he was mostly a backup. You know, he went from a starter, kind of was phased out of it at the end, and he had kind of a nice career resurgence. So while I think he can do multiple things, I wonder if, you know, maybe he's just best at safety rather than cornerback.
What would you say is the strongest part of his game? Like, they say the versatility, but what if it's this is the one thing he could bank on?
Yeah, Dennis Allen always described him as rangy. That was the thing that stood out, was he had a lot of range, mentioned his speed as well too, but the range, you know, to cover ground, pretty hard tackler, but the range I think would be the number one thing.
All right, and that obviously helps on the back end. The solid tackling really helps. It's crazy what so much of defensive backs, and I know this drives you nuts, B, what, like, the tackling is such a lost art on the back end of defenses where there's hitting. People try to hit, but there's, like, no rapping, I would say.
Right.
Does he actually get guys down to the ground?
You know, I have to go back and look at it more. I mean, the Saints as a team were terrible tacklers last year. It was, like, one of their biggest issues on defense. So I think he's individually okay. Like, he doesn't come to mind when I think of, like, the Broncos game, for instance, was just horrible last year from a tackling standpoint. But, you know, they did have a lot of missed tackles, but I think he was okay in that area.
All right, there you have it. Talking to our friend Matt Paris here, writes for the New Orleans Times Picayune down there in the Big Easy covering the Saints. You can give him a follow at Matthew_Paris, P-A-R-A-S. Chase Young gets a big deal from the Saints. He was pretty good when Washington played them last year. I think he's kind of learned who he is as an NFL player, and it doesn't appear that he's ever going to have that really high ceiling pass rusher 17 sack season, but he's still a really helpful player. Tell us about the deal, and were you surprised to see it?
Yeah, I mean, I think the contract kind of reflects what you just said. It was 3 years, $51 million, $17 million per year. I think that makes him the 19th or 18th highest paid defensive end. Like, that's solid starter money, and that's what he was for New Orleans. You know, he didn't come in and blow the roof off. Still only finished with 5.5 sacks. Like, wasn't the best year for him sack production-wise, but his pressure rate was 16%. That was a career high, ranked top six in pressures according to next-gen stats. Like, he had a solid year, and I think, you know, the biggest difference from covering him in Washington is he just fits in a lot better than maybe he did. You know, there weren't those expectations for him to be an absolute game-changer. He didn't necessarily frustrate coaches as much, you know, with freelancing and those sorts of things. And so he kind of a solid year. And I think to your point, JP, is, you know, he kind of knows who he is now and is a lot more comfortable with that.
How was when he got that contract, are a lot of the fans down there happy with it and happy with the fact that he got the deal, he's coming back?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they pretty much, I don't know this for absolutely certain, but Paulson Adebo left and signed with the Giants, and he's making $18 million a year. And with Chase Young making $17 million a year, it looks like they prioritized edge rusher instead of cornerback. And that, I think, people are okay with. And, you know, maybe they would have liked to see a bigger splash there, but, you know, I think they're okay and happy with the contract, all things considered, because they didn't break the bank for him. I mean, it's pretty reasonable money.
All right.
So, you know, there was some, I think to call it news is a little overblown, but basically, New Orleans was the only job left, and Kingsbury said he's sticking around in Washington for a year. That made it pretty clear he didn't want the New Orleans job to me. And yet, you start fresh with Kellen Moore there. This Derek Carr thing makes it impossible for anything else to happen. When is this god-awful Derek Carr deal over, and who the hell signed him to that?
Yeah, it's Mickey Loomis did, and he's still the general manager here. The reason why, I mean, when they signed him originally, it was 4 years, $150 million. Like, that's reasonable money for a starter. It's middle of the pack. The problem that the Saints get themselves into is because they're so up against the cap is they've had to restructure a lot of these deals. His is the easiest to restructure because it creates the most room because it's the biggest number. So because they've done that 2 years in a row now, he's facing a $69 million cap figure next year. That they can move on from it technically, but it would leave like $59 million in dead money. And it is entering the last year of his deal, you know, in 2026. So, you know, the big question was down here whether they were going to get rid of him just to eat the money all at once. But that's not really this organization's philosophy. They want to push it. They want to try and compete for the division. And they were so hurt on offense last year, they kind of looked at it and said, okay, well, I think these players are good, and it was the coach's fault and the injuries. And so they've changed the coaching staff. They made some changes on the sports science side, but they're still betting on the players themselves.
Wow. So, I mean, I know they had that hot start, but, like, I was listening to, I think it was Russillo's podcast this morning, and he kind of just described the Saints have become this just irrelevant NFL outpost. And that just sucks because when they had that thing cooking with Drew Brees and Sean Payton, it's such a cool city, and the life and the culture that surrounds football down there is so great. But, I mean, I guess maybe they're competing for the NFC South title. Like, what do they have? Like, what are they telling their fans to buy season tickets for next year?
I mean, yeah, I guess a lot of fans here are frustrated. I mean, it kind of reminds me of, I mean, it's not nearly as bad as it was under Snyder, but it reminds me of, you know, that general, like, apathy where people start kind of tuning out. You could just tell when the city is really locked in. Like, when they started 2-0 last year, there was just a buzz around the city. Like, I was at a concert.
Believe me, I heard.
Well, hell, when the Skins started 2-0 after the Denver game, and they went 4-13 Rods last year.
Yeah, no, it was like that. I mean, people were so excited, and it just kind of, you know, people need to see a major change, and they thought they were getting that with Kellen Moore. Like, that hiring went over pretty well here, given the process. You know, that coaching search was really dragged out. But I think this people here are very mixed, to put it politely, about Derek Carr, and I think him coming back did no favors to some of the fans who are already really fed up with the team.
Well, dude, how does Taysom Hill make this roster? He's got an $18 million cap hit with no guaranteed money. Are they actually keeping Taysom Hill at $18
million? Well, the $18 million part, we'll see if that will be addressed. I mean, maybe they reach an agreement with him. I don't have the figure in front of me now, but the problem with a lot of these Saints contracts is because they've restructured them so many times that actually, even though there's no guaranteed money left, they're still, like, you know, they've pushed money into the future with void years and those sorts of things. So I don't know what the dead money would be if they had just outright released him.
I'm just using over the cap numbers, and they may be wrong, but if you release him post June 1, you get on the right side of the equation.
Okay.
Pre-June 1, you get crushed. But, like, I guess my bigger position
is time to get out of that Taysom Hill deal.
Dude, you know, Taysom Hill has
they were paying him money to be like a utility player.
Was that Loomis also?
Yep.
Yeah.
Clearly,
I grew up down there in Paris, and believe me, the Drew Brees years was good. The rest of them, not.
Right. No, people are, you know, finding out how hard it is to find a quarterback in the Drew Brees era. I mean, it really does remind me of, you know, I mean, even though Derek Carr will be the starter third year in a row here, it does feel like, I mean, even Spencer Rattler played a lot last year. I mean, he played 7 games, and so there were, you know, you're writing quarterback profiles every week, and it's...
Hell, Rattler almost came back and beat the Commanders.
Well, that was because of the referees.
Who was the other dude that started? Who's the dude that started with a weird neck?
Jay Kaner.
Yeah, that guy is not an NFL quarterback.
He said a weird neck.
I feel bad, Paris. Like, a lot of fans feel bad for John Allen because he endured so much junk here and now is leaving. Now, hopefully they win in Minnesota. I like John. I root for John. John also made a lot of money to endure the junk. You just worked for a newspaper and endured the junk. And then you left before the going got good, and now you might be back in the junk, dog.
You're saying that newspaper money isn't the same as NFL?
No, it's not. I don't know what to say there. Isn't Mickey Loomis is the GM of the Saints and the basketball team, right?
I think he is.
He's not necessarily. No, he's not the basketball team. At one point he was, but they've kind of now separated that. Dennis Lauscher is the team president, who, you know, is basically like the Jason Wright. He kind of has, you know, some influence over the Pelicans as well. But I mean, in terms of general manager stuff, it's David Griffin on the Pelicans side. But yeah, I mean, those two franchises are connected, and God, I mean, the Pelicans are a mess too. It's not a bright time to be a New Orleans sports fan here, I guess, unless you count LSU, but they're in Baton Rouge.
Well, you got good food.
Yeah?
If you got to be in a city with bad sports, New Orleans has plenty of distractions.
Good food, man.
Absolutely, man.
I fear is the only hope down there that the woman sells the team. Like, is that where we've reached for the Saints?
No, I don't think so. I mean, not yet. I mean, some fans maybe want that, but it's not nearly to that. You know, I haven't seen like sell the team chants or bags over their heads like it was near the end of Snyder.
Yet. Well, the Snyder thing, I don't know.
Well, they used to wear bags on their heads down there before, but I have a text thread with nothing but people from Louisiana. That whole text thread want her to sell the team, believe me.
Sure, yeah.
They wanted to sell it.
So you like the Will Harris move, though, in short?
I do, yeah. Yeah, solid signing, good money. I mean, it was, you know, nothing crazy. He's a solid player. If they open that spot up in training camp for a competition and he gets beat out by somebody, okay, maybe not, like, maybe that happens, but it's a worthy, like, let's take a flyer on this guy at a reasonable price.
There you have it. All right, Paris, thanks, buddy. Appreciate you making time.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks.
All right, Paris. Take care, buddy.
At @Matthew_Paris, P-A-R-A-S. How about that, Jeffrey? A little optimism starting to surround Mr. Will Harris.
Mm.
Rooster and Paris in on it. Nobody go anywhere. We got to make some bets.
This was actually dedicated to Heavy Metal Chris's daughter because this is her favorite song.
Really?
I love that. How old is she?
Hip-hop song. 5?
Wow. That's awesome. Maybe I'll play this for my daughters this afternoon. They've heard it. We're on a Chapel Roan kick at the crib. Pink Pony Club, hot to go. Maybe we'll have to break in a little Coolio. What do you got going tonight, B?
Nothing, man. I'm chilling.
You playing golf?
I have 3 friends that are asses. They all backed out. They all came with some fake reasons to back out of stuff.
Doug, mine is not fake.
You did something because somebody else backed out. That's what you said.
You tell me to go get paid. I'm going to get paid.
But he backed out because somebody else backed out, and then Jeff came up with some.
No, whatever.
I just think Jeff don't want to lose by 50.
No, strokes. My car part came in, bro.
50 strokes. Like, that's all I'm saying.
I would have been working on that tomorrow. We rescheduled for next week.
Don't ever ask me to play golf with y'all tomorrow. I'm done.
Oh, my God. Like, stop it.
Overreaction, I would say, bro.
I don't want to play with y'all tomorrow.
Ever.
Y'all Bammers.
Okay, we're done. Jeff, you want to play next week?
I'm down.
All right, just you and I.
Yeah, y'all go.
It'll be a much more pleasant afternoon.
Yeah, I'll probably have a chance to win.
We won't have as good music or drinks, but it will be pleasant.
It won't be pleasant because
it'll just be nice to
each other.
Next
week is going to be cold.
No, it's not.
That's what they just told me.
They wrong.
I got to work. I'm going to be at AU looking for David Aldridge, and then I got all ears tonight. Should be a fun night. Lot of free agency, obviously. Official league year opens at 4 o'clock. Do you think there is – last time we said this, you and I both thought another big move was coming. A small part of me, Brian, can't get past the fact that the trade for Tunsil was very complicated. Picks this year, picks next year, picks coming back.
I think they're saving something for something.
Dude, 61 is sitting there, and the initial report about Hendrickson was a late second might get it done.
I think they're saving something.
It's hella interesting. It is just sitting there. And I think, I don't know with Hendrickson, we'd have to, maybe I could text my boy Charlie Golds. But with his contract, since he doesn't want to pay him, I am sure some of this gets paid out like the first week of the league year. And, okay, here we go. $10 million bonuses, roster bonuses, on the 5th day of the league year. So, assuming that structure remained, the clock is ticking on that one. I don't know what the hell is going to happen. But I find it very, very interesting. Speaking of interesting, let's make some bets. Jeff, not prepared to play
Jeff
that sound.
Jeff been doing great all around.
White Brian.
Me and JP got wins yesterday. Everyone else lost.
Bang. What I have?
The Caps.
C-A-P-S. All right. Who wants what today? I'm not calling on anyone. Just shout.
Baylor -5.5.
Whoa, bang. White Brian's on the board. Damn.
Give me the Celtics tonight.
Okay.
To beat OKC.
I'm going against that. I'm taking Thunder.
Ooh, I like it.
Take y'all L's.
You guys want some side action for a lunch bet?
I'm riding with Chris.
Yo, how about this? One of the worst years of UVA basketball recent memory. Obviously, Tony Bennett quits. Can't expect a good season. Looks like the Cavaliers are about to call it quits on the whole year. They're down 59-46 with 2.5 minutes left to Georgia Tech.
And just to tick landfill off, I want to parlay that Calgary Flames win.
Jeff getting it all over the place.
Damn, Jeff.
Arkansas Razorbacks beating the hell out of the South Carolina Gamecocks. Coach Cal ain't no fool.
2.5. +2.5 for Oklahoma. So.
Do you have a parlay coming, Brian?
Not today.
I don't believe you.
I'm telling you. Not today.
DePaul is very bad. Is that correct?
Yes.
Man, I don't like where the money is in that game. I'll take the under. DePaul, Georgetown. Boys are on at 6:30 on Peacock if you want to watch it. Getting closer to my Turtles. Actually, you know what? I don't know what to do. I don't want to do that. I don't want to make DA mad. Navy's 15-18 against AU, 21-12 tonight. AU 3.5-point favorites. Let's all make an AU Navy pick. This is not our official bet. We're just making
AU. AU, baby. Let's go for the home team.
Heavy metal?
Home team, yeah.
I think they're kind of home. They're kind of both home teams. AU's closer.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, you know what? Let's go Navy. Let's go Navy. My dad went to the Naval Academy. What am I thinking? I got to go Navy.
There you go, Chris. White Brian?
Navy +4.5.
I'm going to be in the building, so I'm taking AU. I don't want David Aldridge to yell at me. Thank you to everyone that listened to the program today. Thank you to Neil Greenberg. Thank you to Ed Werder. Thank you to Matt Paris for joining us. Tomorrow we're going to have them phone lines open and ripping. Plus, London Fletcher will join the show.
Fletch.
A fun day today. Jeff almost got through without any mistakes. Almost only good in horseshoes and hand grenades. Grant and Danny coming your way next. You made it this far. Owe you a beer.